Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, welcome in. Welcome in to an emergency edition of the Arrowhead Addict podcast. I don't know if I'd call it an emergency edition. I guess I just did. A special edition, a breaking news edition. We could go with that. My name is Patrick Allen. You probably know who I am if you listen to this podcast. If you don't, I host this podcast along with some other great chaps. All right, so we're here. We had a show last night. We predicted the whole schedule, or at least I did. And I thought I was done for the week. It's the holiday weekend coming up. I got some landscaping to do. And it was my last meeting of the day. And then the Cardinals go ahead and release wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. If you're a Chiefs fan, you know this is a name that has been floating around as a potential target for the Chiefs. So we're going to get into it. Let's talk about it. Let's get some feelings out there. If you're watching on YouTube, do me a favor. Let's get a group of people in here to let's talk this out in the chat. You guys in YouTube land, I want to know what you think. So hit that thumbs up button and let's get as many Chiefs fans in here as possible. And let's talk some ball. Shout out, by the way, to all of our Arrowhead Addict members. I know you guys pop on whenever we go live. Appreciate you. What's up, Trey Young? Trey Young says he's a Chief. Did it happen already? That would be good. Clint McKenzie says, hi, Patrick. Good to see you. Thanks for jumping on. Yeah, I got you guys. I got you guys whenever I can. All right. So look, DeAndre Hopkins, let's start with the should they or shouldn't they? And that's a conversation that we were having throughout free agency when it was sort of known that DeAndre Hopkins was on the block and maybe he was going to get picked up by somebody in a trade. So, you know, the new league year opens up. He wasn't a free agent, but, you know, should the Chiefs trade for him? There was a lot of discussion about that. Now, our own Adam Best, one of our co-hosts on the show, one of the founders of Arrowhead Addict, he was very anti-signed DeAndre, or, you know, he was very anti-trade for DeAndre Hopkins. And I understand why. DeAndre Hopkins is still a really talented wide receiver when he's able to stay on the field, had some injury issues the last couple of years. But, you know, he's a talented guy. But Adam's point is, hey, man, don't invest a ton in a wide receiver over 30. It usually doesn't go well. Their skills decline, so on and so forth. And that's a totally fair assessment. So let's take a look just kind of at how he performed last year. He played in 9 games. He had 64 receptions on 96 targets, 717 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's pretty good. That's pretty good in 9 games, 717 yards. He'd be over 1,000. And he was in an offense that was not particularly dynamic with a quarterback that is hit or miss, right? So he still has the talent, but keep in mind, he hasn't played 16 games since 2020, 10 in 2021. I think last year was a suspension. Somebody in the chat, let me know that was keeping him out at the beginning of the year. I think that was the case. But in 2021, 42 receptions for 572 yards in 10 games. Averaging 13.6. He had 8 touchdowns. But before that, the first year he was in Arizona when they signed him, he was fantastic. the DeAndre Hopkins that we all know and loved if you were a Texans fan or a Cardinals fan that first year, 1,400 yards on 115 receptions. He caught six tutties. And he was on a heater, you know, before that, 2017, 1,378 yards, 2018, 1,572, 2019, 1,165 playing with Deshaun Watson. So this is one of the best receivers in the NFL when he's healthy and when he's on his game. But how much more does he have left in the tank? PED suspension, Alan said. Thank you. Appreciate that. So, okay. Things change, right? The conversation changes when you go from, should we trade a bunch of assets? And the Cardinals were reportedly, they wanted a lot, I think maybe a first rounder or second rounder for him. Things change a lot when you go from, should we trade assets for a 30 plus year old wide receiver who may or may not fall off a cliff at any given moment, to they cut him. There were reports that this could happen earlier in the offseason. I wasn't sure if it was going to go that way. I'm not familiar with the Cardinals salary cap situation and why it made sense for them to do this. I'm sure that it did, that they got some relief by cutting him. Probably he had a lot of dead cap, but they probably got some relief. So he's going to be out there. So for the Chiefs, it's what's it going to take to sign him? And it really comes down to what are the priorities for DeAndre Hopkins? Is it money? Does he want a bunch of money? I reckon the Cardinals are on the hook for some of his salary. If they cut him, he's going to get some money. Or is he chasing a ring? If he wants to chase a ring, there are a lot of options out there. He could go to Philly. He could go to Buffalo. He's been rumored to be interested in Buffalo and Josh Allen. He's mentioned him by name. The Bills have been rumored to be interested in him. I've seen the Patriots connected to DeAndre Hopkins. Why you would go to the Patriots if you're DeAndre Hopkins to catch passes from Mac Jones is beyond me, but they've been linked to him. They're interested. So before we get into the dollars and cents of it, I want to hear from you. Forget about money. That's all I think workable. And it's not going to be like, I don't think they're going to sign him to a 5-year deal or something crazy like that. So it's probably, if he wants to chase a ring, if he wants to play for a team like the Chiefs, it's probably a 1-year deal. Are you interested in the player given the Chiefs' current wide receiver core? I want to hear from y'all in the chat. I've got some comments in here already. Frank Murray says too expensive for how we'd use him. Plus, he'd have to block. That's true. The Chiefs do like to have their wide receivers block. But I think he would instantly be the number one receiver on the team. Trey Young says this is literally the best case scenario for DeAndre Hopkins if it's a somewhat team friendly deal. I think if he wants to win a championship, 100%, because not only is he on the best team in the NFL, the defending Super Bowl champions, with an offensive-minded coach and a team that's going to throw the ball a ton, you know, he could come in. Look at Juju Smith-Schuster. He goes and he didn't get some massive deal. Like, he didn't like totally revitalize. I guess he kind of did revitalize his career because he was on the dumps in Pittsburgh. But he comes to Kansas City. He has a really solid season, not an outrageous season, but a really solid season for the Chiefs, wins a ring. And then he's like, yeah, I'm just going to go for all the money. Patriots are offering me, I'm going to go there. And that's fine. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have a ring. So he can come to Kansas City, win a ring. If he stays healthy, he has a chance to have an outrageous season because he's playing with Patrick Mahomes in this offense. And then, you know, does he go out hunting for one more like 2-3 year deal with a team that wants to throw some money at him that thinks that they're a wide receiver away, where he'll be able to do that because he'll be like, okay, legacy's solidified. Right. I won my Super Bowl and now I can just like, let's get as much money as I can before I retire. Or he could just like stick around for the Chiefs, or he could retire. Who knows? So let's see here. We're getting some comments in. Ronald says if he accepts an incentive heavy deal, we should bring him in. No question. I think that's fair. The Chiefs don't really have a true number one. We've heard they want it to be Kadarius Toney, or that they think it can be Kadarius Toney. He certainly has the physical skills to be a true number one. But he's not always on the field. Frank says Juju was a hybrid tight end for us. He was kind of. I mean, he did some dirty work over the middle for the Chiefs, but he had some nice run after the catch. I mean, he was a nice outlet for the Chiefs last year. He really was. Joseph says he's exactly what the Chiefs and Patrick needs to go along with the young guys. Got to have a true number one. You know, I mean, I think they didn't last year. I mean, the number one receiver on the Chiefs last year was Travis Kelce, but you know, and they mixed it up. But have it, there's just no, like, he's too talented. There's no denying if you put him in this offense, he's a guy. With the Chiefs on offense last year, there were two people you had to worry about. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Like, those are the guys, right, that you're coming in and you're like, man, we try to take Kelce away. Teams still weren't able to do it. So now you put in Hopkins. Like, nobody was like, we're game planning for Juju. We're game planning for MVS. And that's kind of, I think, what made the Chiefs a little bit difficult to defend, was because you just didn't know where it was going to hit you. You bring in a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, and you might see some similar things to what you saw when the Chiefs had Tyreek Hill, because he is a guy you have to game plan for. And that would make things harder on defenses, because the Chiefs have still changed their offense. I don't think they're going to go back to the Tyreek Hill offense if they get a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, but he's so dangerous that it's a problem. And it's going to make things more complicated for defenses. I'm in favor of the move, if they can do it, if it makes sense.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Just a guy says cap space doesn't matter. 2 void years, it'll be fine. You always can manipulate the cap, and the Chiefs have some levers that they can pull if they want to make this happen. Dion says Chiefs make more sense than the Bills. In Buffalo, he'd be fighting for balls with Diggs. That's true. Maybe he doesn't care about that, though. I mean, we all think that, right? Like, we're thinking about like fantasy football and, you know, all that stuff, targets. What is important to DeAndre Hopkins? Is it just eating up stats so that he can get another deal, make more money, pad his career stats? Is it winning a Super Bowl? Is it a little bit of both? If it's a little bit of both, you could see him wanting to go to Buffalo and catch passes from Josh Allen and that offense, and also have another receiver that's going to take some of the heat off of him as he's getting a little bit older now. I mean, I could see that. Jeremy Cochran, what's up, man, says, I'd love to have D-Hop. He's going to want more than Odell, in my opinion, and that's a non-starter for us, sadly. See, the thing about Odell, I would have been less interested in Odell than DeAndre Hopkins, because Odell is just like always hurt. I mean, he hasn't really done anything in years. Go back and look at his stats. The talents, I mean, you can see it. The talent is there, but he hasn't really done anything. DeAndre Hopkins was terrific last year when he was on the field. And Arrowhead added co-founder Adam Best joins me as it's a fire drill Friday. Adam, what's up, man?
That's right. What's going on? Yeah, I'm just kind of looking at some stuff. So I'm trying to compare. I'm a big fan of the site Reception Perception, because Matt Harmon over there, who was a guest on the show, kind of looks at success by route, success against coverage type. And I'm trying to compare DeAndre Hopkins in 2022 to 2023, kind of doing things on the fly, as I'm sure you've been doing since you've been on, but
Yeah, trying to look up cap numbers while you're talking to a live audience, you know, it's a challenge.
Yeah. What did they eat? A $21 million cap to get rid of him?
I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head, but it had to have been significant.
I'm not seeing a big fall off in any of his numbers versus any kind of coverage. The routes look about the same. I will say that he's going to be 31 this year, this season. And last year, guess how many receivers 31 or older had 500 or more yards?
Lay it on us.
If you can guess who they are, I'd give you $100.
No bet.
Okay. Adam Thielen and Marvin Jones, too. That's it. Yeah. So that's a little bit of a bad omen. You look at what happened to AJ Green and Julio Jones. However, no draft capital involved. And if the Cardinals, if the way he sees it is the Cardinals are paying me to ring chase somewhere else.
Right.
And he's going to come in and say, you know what? I'll take a 1 year, $5 million deal and reset my market value because for some reason, I don't know if it's the PED thing or my attitude or the injuries, there isn't the market for his caliber of player that there should be. He's seen Juju Smith-Schuster kind of do that here, kind of rehabilitate his reputation, right?
Yeah, I mentioned him earlier. And, you know, it's a little bit of a different because obviously Juju's still a lot younger. So Juju had a lot more money on the line. And, you know, what I was talking about before you arrived, Adam, is like the big thing with Hopkins is like what's important to him? Because at his age, it's a little bit different than Juju. He could maybe get one more contract. Like if he signs a one-year deal and he plays, you know, plays out of his mind or plays really well, you could get a team that comes in and gives him probably a two-year deal with like a team option, incentive laden. But like, you know, the Raiders are out there, so who knows? They might just come and throw $200 million at him. And it's what's important to him. Is it chasing a title or is it, you know, having a really good season with a really good quarterback, padding up those stats a little bit so he can get that next deal? If it were me and I was that age and I knew about like wide receiver mortality after the age of 30, I would come straight to Kansas City. I'm looking at these teams and I'm like, I'm going to Kansas City. Like, I don't want to go to Philadelphia. Right. Like they've got wide receivers in Philadelphia. I'm going to be competing with a bunch of guys.
Plus they're a rushing team, right?
Right. Right. I don't want to go to Buffalo and deal with 55 inches of snow. And, you know, I've got Stephon Diggs over there. Like they have.
That's a good point. He's played exclusively in Texas and Arizona.
Yeah.
And that would be a little bit of an adjustment.
Yeah. And it's not like you can't get snow in Kansas City, but it certainly is. It's much warmer. And then Buffalo.
Yeah, he also wouldn't be the number one there. Stephon Diggs would be the unquestioned number one. And right. Even though Travis Kelce is the de facto number one wide receiver in Kansas City, he would be seen as the number one wide receiver here. Now, I think if you're DeAndre Hopkins, you're on the verge of becoming a Hall of Famer. Like, you have a shot. But I think you really, really need a ring to boost your resume. I think if he came here and won a championship, he would probably be in, or at least have a very good argument. That has to be somewhat important, right?
It matters. It matters. Rings matter. They consider that. And look, I mean, he mentioned quarterbacks, you know, that he'd like to play with. He mentioned Lamar Jackson. He mentioned Josh Allen just on a recent podcast, the I Am Athlete podcast. So he mentioned Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. Interestingly, he didn't mention Joe Burrow, right?
Ooh.
I mean, but that tells you a little bit of something. Like, it probably isn't personal with Joe Burrow. Like, if the Bengals didn't have the wide receivers that they had, he probably would have said Joe Burrow, right? But yeah. He's looking at it and he's like, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna win a Super Bowl and I can be the guy or one of the guys in these offenses. But if I'm looking at those guys again, you go to Kansas City because you look at the wide receiver core. If you're DeAndre Hopkins and you're like, all right, so I just got to beat out Kadarius Toney to be the number one wide receiver. No offense to Kadarius Toney, but like, come on, man, he can add up all his stats and it doesn't equal one year of DeAndre Hopkins. So I think it's a no brainer for him over those teams. I wouldn't go to Baltimore. I wouldn't go to, why would you go to play with Justin Herbert? Again, all due respect to Justin Herbert, why would you go to get your ass kicked by Patrick Mahomes instead of winning with Patrick Mahomes. And I think that second Super Bowl means a lot for the Chiefs. You know what I mean? Like, as far as free agents go, like, it wasn't just like a one thing. Like, they won a Super Bowl and they haven't won one thing. It's not a Russell Wilson situation. Like, this is a guy who always is playing to go to the Super Bowl and is there more often than he's not. It's incredible. I would go straight to Kansas City.
He's made previous statements about wanting to be with a winning organization that's well-run, well-coached. I like Brandon Staley as a defensive mind, but as a head coach, he leaves a lot to be desired. Their front office and ownership are a mess, in my opinion. Herbert's a great player, you know, top six or so, but he ain't Mahomes by a long stretch. And also Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, two very proven commodities making $20 million a year or something. They just drafted Quentin Johnston. I don't think he fits there. Baltimore, maybe. I'm higher on Lamar than most. But again, if you want to win, I think the best opportunity is in Kansas City. And it's a unique opportunity for someone like DeAndre Hopkins. Most players, I wouldn't say this about, but DeAndre Hopkins can come into Kansas City, get more face time on TV, and endorsement opportunities than he's ever had in his life, and set up his post-football career. Because you're going to be on football. I mean, you're going to be on TV constantly.
Every week. He'll be on every week. I mean, exactly. Can you, like, I would like to see it just to watch everybody lose their minds, like all the opposing fans. If the Chiefs get DeAndre Hopkins for nothing, it'll just be hilarious.
It's the Breaking Bad. Like, how do they keep getting away with this? You know what I mean?
Right. And this is where it makes sense. And if it does work out, credit to Brett Veach for being patient and like playing the market and being like, I'm not going to trade assets for this guy as much as I might like to have him. And we haven't talked about Veach a lot, but this is a Brett Veach move. Brett Veach likes to go big game hunting. He's done it in the past. He likes to make aggressive moves. He brought in Le'Veon Bell. He's not afraid to bring in
Shady McCoy.
Like, he's not afraid to bring in aging veterans who were good at one point. He's not afraid to take these big swings. He did it last year. It's not exactly the same thing, but when he traded for Kadarius Toney, like, that's a Brett Veach special, which is, here's a guy, former first round pick. It hasn't worked out, some injury concerns, but he's super talented. We need a little bit of help. We need a little bit of dynamicism. Let's go for it. He makes a trade with some of his extra draft picks that he acquired. And this was the time where it didn't with Le'Veon Bell, and it really didn't with Shady McCoy. This was the time where he goes and he makes one of these moves and it works out. Like, he didn't put up giant numbers, but he helped them win a Super Bowl. He made a key play in the biggest game of the year for the Chiefs. This is one of those moves where you see him stacking his chips, where he's like, okay, I like what I have. I'm comfortable playing, you know, pushing this in and betting this, but I'd like to have a couple more because I just don't know which one it's going to be that's going to help me out, right? Drafting Sky Moore's punt return, like, that paid off already. And so now it's just like, can he develop? So I think this is a Brett Veach move. I think he's probably on the phone with him right now. I wouldn't be surprised.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons he feels so comfortable making these moves for guys that have had some issues, some cultural issues in locker rooms and with previous regimes elsewhere is that he knows the culture in Kansas City is so strong. You've got the bedrocks of Mahomes and Kelsey and Jones and most of all, Andy Reid, who might be the most respected and liked coach throughout the league to kind of handle a personality like that. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't take down the locker room with them. I think the one thing, just not to be a wet blanket, but the one thing I will note here is the team has invested a lot in Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, and Rashee Rice. And if they do acquire him, it will slow down the development, possibly, of some of those guys. Now, if one guy, like Kadarius Toney, really steps up and defenses have to pay a lot of attention to DeAndre Hopkins, it could theoretically accelerate Toney's development. But now that there's no draft pick needed to get him and his crazy salary is no longer an issue that you have to eat, I think the risk is pretty low.
Yeah. And Rashee Rice, like, you know, I don't think it's about this year for him. You know, if he has a Sky Moore-like season, that's fine as long as Sky Moore takes a step forward and Kadarius Toney stays on the field. But I sure would like to have a veteran wide receiver in that group beyond MVS, who I feel like we miss a lot, you know, but he is what he is. I don't think he's going to have a different season this year than he did last year.
I mean, maybe you could spin it that he and Mahomes will be more on the same page with the long ball, you know, three or four times throughout the season. But besides that, he is what he is, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There were a couple moments where they didn't link up that he could have altered his numbers a little bit. So as far as cap space, it's tough to know. There, I've seen numbers for the Chiefs right now anywhere from 600,000 to 1 million to 2 million in cap space. Nick Jacobs actually tweeted this out on Twitter. You can follow him. He's a solid follow at Jacobs71. He said the salary cap space for the teams DeAndre Hopkins mentioned earlier on the I Am Athlete podcast that I mentioned earlier, the teams that he might be interested in are the quarterbacks. He's got the Bills at 3.1 million in cap space, the Eagles with 14.6. The Chiefs with 2.8, the Ravens with 12.3, and the Chargers with 13.3. So that's where it gets tricky. The Chiefs don't really have the money to outbid anybody right now, especially like if the Chargers throw a bunch.
Unless there's a looming Chris Jones extension,
right?
Or some other, you know, conversion tactic that Veach has up his sleeve, right?
Right. I think they can convert some of Mahomes' salary. I think they have that in their back pocket always to convert stuff to bonus to spread it out throughout the length of his contract.
And they've done it with like Toney and Kelsey before.
Yeah.
So,
right. So yeah, Chris Jones extension is the easy one, to spread some things out. Legarius Sneed is somebody who, and I wanted to ask you about this really quickly while I have you, cause I brought this up on the show yesterday. When Mahomes was talking earlier this week about his legacy and his contract and stuff, they were asking him about that. One of the things he said was, I understand, you know, you've got guys that you want to keep great players around you. And he mentioned three players by name, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, and Legarius Sneed. And so I put my conspiracy cap on because I think a lot of us think that they'll probably let Sneed walk. because they don't want to open up the checkbook and pay a cornerback a big salary. But the fact that Mahomes mentioned that, do you think it's just coincidence that like he knows he's due up for a contract and so he's just one of the guys that's coming up? Or the fact that he mentioned Kelsey and Jones and Snead, does that say to you that they've had conversations about Snead, his importance to the team, and that maybe we will get an extension for Legarius Snead?
Yeah, it's rarefied company. I mean, that he sees that he threw his name in with two future Hall of Famers at least shows that in the back of Mahomes' mind, he really thinks this guy is an integral part of the team and kind of a cornerstone. And I do think he's the second best player in the defense, even ahead of Bolton. He's very important. His versatility is quite rare. Now, the issue becomes one of the ways that Brett Veach has afforded to give, I think it was like 31% of the cap last year to Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes. And if you throw in Kelsey, that number is getting closer and closer to half the salary cap, is that they had the second cheapest secondary in the entire NFL. That I keep saying that's kind of their special sauce. That's how they kind of manage the cap, because they are the best team in the NFL at finding unheralded corners. I think that's not even debatable at this point after the Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson experience last year. So will they want to keep leaning into that? They let Charvarius Ward walk when someone threw him the bag. I mean, if someone throws $15 million a year at Legarius Snead, no matter how much they want to keep him, will they see it as, we just can't do this?
Yeah. And, you know, almost certainly Brett Veach has a plan. He's a very good GM. So the fact that this happened, and other GMs too, it's not just Brett Veach, this was not a surprise, I guarantee you, to GMs around the league that he was cut today. They knew that this was coming. There's the whole June 1 thing. We're going into the last weekend here in May. So if you're Brett Veach and you are interested in DeAndre Hopkins, you probably know what it's going to take, and you probably have a plan to wait and see if you're going to do it. And so now it's like DEFCON. Like, if he's going to do it, he's got to pick up the phone. He's got to make the move. And that means if there needs to be another step, like an extension for Chris Jones, it's time to pull the trigger on that. So he'll know what to do. He'll have it all planned out and sketched out if signing DeAndre Hopkins is something that he wants to do. It's going to be interesting, though, because DeAndre Hopkins, is he going to want to sign right away? Or is he going to want to go on a little tour? Because now he had permission to seek a trade, I think. So like, he probably has talked to teams, but now he can, like, you know, maybe flies out to Buffalo and flies out and sees his boy Lamar and goes out to dinner in Baltimore, flies to Kansas City and sees Patrick Mahomes. So it could be over this weekend, or, you know, it could be drawn out for a few months. It's summer. Like, he doesn't want to go to
OTAs. He could Odell Beckham it, you know, like, right, really, really soak up all the attention and oxygen. It really comes down to him. I do not think Brett Veach is going to want to engage in a bidding war with the other options he currently has on the roster. So really, it's just going to come down to DeAndre. Does he want to be in Kansas City? Does he think that's the best place for him to go get a ring and reestablish himself? And if he sees it as the undisputed first choice, I think something can happen. If he sees Kansas City and Buffalo and Philadelphia as equals, I just don't think Veach is going to go there. I don't think Veach wants to get into a brawl with Howie Roseman and these other GMs, right?
Yeah, and they're not going to win that battle, even if they move some money around. And I don't think they want to. I mean, they just won the Super Bowl. This is actually where, let me see if I can find it here. There was a really funny tweet from an Eagles fan account. This it's at D Birds on Twitter, DIBRBIRDS, says, "This is insane. The Chiefs are somehow going to trade Tyreek Hill, win the Super Bowl anyway, and then have DeAndre Hopkins fall right in their lap, aren't they?" Which would be hilarious when you put it that way. It's pretty satisfying to think about.
I never thought our franchise would instill this level of fear in the other 31 fan bases. It's absurd. It just is. What a weird thing. But I'm with you. I kind of want to see it just to see the reaction on TV and, you know, Stephen A. Smith's head will probably literally explode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, do you see a downside to this? Unless, you know, obviously there's the, like, they make bad contract decisions and pay a bunch of money that they shouldn't. But, like, do you see a downside to signing him as a free agent at this point?
Oh, maybe if Father Time comes for him this year and he has a huge drop off and they start giving his snaps to someone else and he's malcontent, and he also kind of keeps Sky Moore from getting on the field as much as he should, and Rashee Rice doesn't play. But the more I think about it, Rashee Rice is going to probably get a redshirt year. It's a little frustrating since we only have him for 4 years, but that's just how Andy Reid does this. He wants his receivers to be fungible, right? He wants them to be able to play every spot and interchangeable and all that kind of stuff. And you just can't come in day one as a rookie and grasp all those concepts and have the feel for the playbook that you need to have. So I think Rashee is kind of not a consideration here. And they play a lot of three wide. I think that they could get, I mean, Sky, Kadarius, and DeAndre Hopkins would look pretty good alongside Travis Kelce. So I, at this point, you know, I will say though that Arizona eating that much cap, it did raise my eyebrows a little bit. Mm. Also, when you recall that Amari Cooper was a little bit of a malcontent, he was hurt quite a bit. He had a huge contract, and Dallas got a fifth for him. Brandon Cooks, kind of similar. The Texans got a fifth for him. The Cardinals couldn't get anything? Like nothing?
Yeah. You have to worry about that, right? I mean, but when he was on the field last year, he was pretty good, unless there's some lingering issue that we don't know about.
That Thursday night football game, I'm trying to remember what team they played against, but it just seemed like every time Kyler Murray threw the ball, it was to Hopkins. He had like 13 or 14 catches or something. So I think it's kind of weird. Kansas City really hasn't had a true possession type receiver during the Mahomes era because, you know, Kelsey's a tight end. Tyreek Hill is a one of one. They haven't really just had that prototypical wide receiver one chain mover, right?
Yeah.
And he would give them that.
Let me ask you this. What if they signed him? Forget about the numbers, but he comes in, he's going to be the number one. What would you consider success for him numbers wise? You know, not necessarily the top end, but like the low end. Like where's the floor that you'd be like, that was worth it. That was good. You should have made that move.
80 and 800, maybe that ballpark.
Yeah. And if you've got Kelce putting up whatever, you know, 1,100 yards or something, 1,200 yards, that'd be great.
Maybe Kadarius in the same ballpark, Sky Moore giving you 500, 600, something like that. Could work.
And I think for me, the thing that gets me excited is Kadarius Toney could be a number one guy. The talent is there, but he's never done it. Injury issues, all that. If you bring in a guy like Hopkins, everyone has to pay attention to him. So it might enable that on-ramp for Kadarius Toney to like finally get that full season, whole training camp with the Chiefs training staff. He's healthy and he can get his confidence at the NFL level. It's not that he's not a confident guy, but he's never like blown up. And so I think that having a guy over there to take some attention away, let him gain that confidence, let him find himself as an NFL wide receiver, potential number one, and then transition to him as your number one. If everything works out, I think that would be fantastic for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. He'd be a hell of a teacher for Rashee Rice in particular, who has a ton of potential, but really needs to work on his route running, his focus. And DeAndre Hopkins is an immaculate route runner. He has the stickiest hands in the game. So I think he would be a good mentor for some of these younger players. As far as Kadarius goes, yeah, I also think you do want to maybe somewhat watch his touches. I don't know that he's going to be a 15 touch or even 12 touch a game type guy. We'll see. We'll see if he can hold up. The other thing I'll say is, you know, Tyreek Hill had gravity to him. There's a reason why I think Byron Pringle and DeMarcus Robinson looked better here than they've looked in other places for the most part.
Yep.
And the Chiefs don't currently have somebody like that. I mean, Travis does offer that, but at the wide receiver position. And I think, you know, suddenly if Kadarius is your number two, your number three is Sky Moore, and you have Richie James, Justin Watson, and Rashee Rice fighting out for 4, 5, and 6, suddenly that goes from one of the weaker wide receiver rooms or one of the least proven wide receiver rooms to one of the strongest in the league.
Absolutely agree. We ran a poll during the show here, and we asked you, will the Chiefs sign DeAndre Hopkins? The results so far here, 62% say yes, 38% say no. I saw somebody in the chat ask me what I thought. Are the Chiefs going to sign him? I'm going to say no. I would like them to, but if you're asking for my prediction, I'm going to say it's not going to happen. Just because it's not a move the Chiefs have to do, and the cap space situation, it requires a lot of gymnastics. And even with those gymnastics, they could still get outbid by other teams. And I try to think of these things in terms of the desperation meter. Signing, like I said this about the trade, the idea of trading for DeAndre Hopkins, which as I said, that's a desperate team move. That's like a Buffalo, the Chargers, like we're wasting this quarterback's prime. We can't get over the hump. This is going to put us over the hump. That's what those teams do. And they pay a little bit of a premium for that because they really believe that that's the missing link.
Baltimore did with Odell Beckham. Like,
exactly.
If we have to give this guy $20 million to get Lamar back, we're so desperate, we'll do anything.
Right, exactly. And or the Browns with Deshaun Watson. They're like, we have a pretty good team. We think we have a pretty good coach. We don't have a quarterback. We're never going to win anything ever. We don't care if he's a scumbag. We don't care. Like, they're going to give him a dumb contract. Like, that's what those teams do. The Chiefs are not that team. They don't make desperate moves. They don't need to make desperate moves because they have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Him being a free agent is different, but there's still a lot of teams out there that I think are in that desperate category who, one, would like to have a guy like this because they think that he might put him over the top. Two, would like to keep the Chiefs from getting DeAndre Hopkins, right? Like, if you're Buffalo, you know, I don't want him to go to Buffalo as a Chiefs fan.
That was one of my first thoughts.
Right? I don't want him to go to Buffalo. And so is a defensive move, okay, if it makes sense, it helps the Chiefs and it hurts Buffalo, great. But I'm not terrified of him going to Buffalo. The Chiefs just went through, you know, the Bengals with all of their wide receivers, and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. So, like, are you going to be that much more scared of the Bills because they have older DeAndre Hopkins and stuff on Diggs? Like, 6-1, half dozen of the other, as far as I'm concerned. So, like, that's not a reason to make the move for me. Only if the Chiefs think it'll help them. But if you're the Bills, first you were like, oh, man, we just got to get by the Chiefs. If we could just get by Mahomes and the Chiefs. And now you're looking at the AFC and you're like, God damn it. You got friggin' Aaron Rodgers in your own division. You've got Patrick Mahomes you have to contend with. And then Joe Burrow has just surpassed your quarterback in terms of in everybody's rankings of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right. And Miami looks good. This is the best situation Lamar Jackson's ever been in. Trevor Lawrence, the last half of the 2022 season, looked like the guy that had been promised during college. So I think Buffalo's seen its window. I mean, I think when they signed Von Miller, they kind of thought this is a 2 or 3 team thing. And we might be the favorite because we're the most complete roster in the league. But that's kind of gone away. I find myself struggling here because there are kind of like two opposing Brett Veach principles. On one hand, there's nothing he likes more than a cheap reclamation project, right? Yeah. Whether it's a vet or a busted first round pick, he loves taking those shots. On the other hand, there's what I've coined the DiCaprio rule, where he doesn't like to give people considerable money if they're 26 or older. So I just have no freaking clue what Veach is thinking or what he's going to do here.
Are you going to explain the DiCaprio rule to
The DiCaprio
rule? Less hip listeners.
Leonardo DiCaprio has taken a lot of heat for never dating anybody over the age of 26. No, I mean, he's almost 50 now, and it's still like has never dated someone older than 26. He just trades them in when they turn 25 or 26. He trades them in for a younger model, like he's going to the car lot or some shit. And you know, you saw that with Veach. I mean, the guys he gave contracts to are typically, I mean, 24, 25, almost every time. Now, the Honey Badger was a bit different, but, you know, that's a borderline Hall of Fame player, the kind of player and personality who could transform your locker room like I think he did defensively. So I just think this is maybe one of the most unpredictable situations we've seen like Veach face yet.
Yeah, and I think it would be foolish for us to think that Veach is going to be always the same. Like when he came in early, he was big game hunting. He made some moves and it worked out. Like the Frank Clark contract, as far as I'm concerned, it was a win. You won two Super Bowls with that guy. He was a factor in both of those playoff runs. Did he live up to the numbers of the contract in the regular season? No, he didn't. You didn't get what you thought you were getting, but you got two championships and he helped. So who cares about that? That was money well spent. But now Brett Veach trades away Tyreek Hill, puts together a young roster and a few key veterans that are affordable in this second phase of the Chiefs under Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And what happens? He wins the Super Bowl the first year. So that's got to change his thinking a little bit to where like, yeah, he needed to bring in a Tyrann Mathieu. He knew that if he could just get a halfway decent defense, they had a really good shot at winning the Super Bowl, and it worked. And instead of just doubling down, once they weren't able to run it back, he changed it up again, and now they've won another Super Bowl. So I think the Buffalo, I just think it turns out that Hopkins ends up somewhere like Buffalo or somewhere stupid like New England. You know, like, because they'll just throw some money at him or whatever.
And Belichick, it's been well documented that he loves Hopkins. So.
Right, right. So, I mean, it's just, I think the deck is stacked against the Chiefs in terms of resources and how desperate those other teams are to be willing to overpay. What they have in their favor, and it's the trump card, and it's the only one they really need, is that they're the Super Bowl favorites. And he makes them a bigger Super Bowl favorite. That's right. Two rings. Does any other quarterback in the NFL right now have two rings now that Brady's retired?
I mean, maybe a backup. I don't think a starting one does.
No, not Rodgers. Wilson didn't win his second.
I'm not even sure a backup does. And Roethlisberger's gone. Eli is gone. Those guys had a couple.
Is Brian Hoyer still kicking around?
Oh, Jimmy G probably has.
Oh, yeah.
A couple rings. Maybe. I guess that he has one. You made an excellent point, though, about Brett Veach not always being the same. I think he's an ongoing, it's a process, like he's figuring things out, and things are different in the NFL year to year. But what's the big difference between that early era and now? It's Mahomes' cap hit. So he has to think a little bit differently. And the other thing is, given the success they had with kind of a lesser receiving core last year than a lot of teams would feel comfortable fielding. That worked out so well. Why is he going to go against that? Maybe he looks at DeAndre Hopkins and says, I'd love to have him, but I know that a good pass rusher is going to get released at some point. And that guy is something we need more than another receiver, because all respect due to Chris Jones, I hear him called the Pat Mahomes of the defense sometimes. He's the best player in the defense. I think he's more like the Travis Kelce of the defense than the Pat Mahomes. So I think he might look at our defense and want more ammo there rather than offense.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's just going to be difficult for it to happen. Rick in the chat says he already said he wants to go to Buffalo. It'd be nice if we got him, but I don't think it'll happen. I tend to agree. Jeffrey says, would love to see the experience factor, but seriously doubt he would take less money to come to the Chiefs. This is one thing I can promise you. And we've had Brett Veach on the show. He's not going to do anything that's going to hurt the Chiefs in the long term. He's just not going to do it. So if signing DeAndre Hopkins, keeping him from going to Buffalo or something like that means it messes up what he wants to do for Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed, because maybe he wants to bring Legarius Sneed back. He's not going to do that. And he has all the reason to believe that they can win the Super Bowl with the roster that they have right now. Because even if the receivers are like a little less talented than they were last year, the defense should be better. I think the defense is going to take a leap forward this year. I've been saying that for a couple of years now, but they've invested so much in the defense. I think if Carl Loftus turns the corner, that alone could be huge for this team. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and if with more snaps, Charles Omenihu takes a step forward, because he's really been super impressive in a limited role. Back in San Francisco, the snaps just weren't available. If FAU can kind of carve out a part-time role, and then you have the guys in the secondary, we feel pretty good about the linebacking core. But I'd argue that barring him staying healthy, I like Tony at this point as a player better than Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yes, I agree with that. slightly different skill set, obviously, but
right.
I'm excited. I'm excited about this team. If this move happens, I'll be on board with it because I know that they're not going to do anything stupid to make it happen. But now we just, you know what? We're going into the holiday weekend. I love it because I was just talking to one of our producers, Hunter, in a meeting when we decided to go live. And I was like, yeah, you know, the Thursday show, a little bit of a low turnout. We're heading into the holiday weekend. Not a lot going on with the Chiefs. And here comes DeAndre Hopkins to save the day. Give us a great hour-long show here to get us more excited. That, you know, I just keep it going, man. I want to be excited about the Chiefs all offseason long. Let's just get right back into it. It's great. I love the NFL, and I love how they just somehow manage to just keep it compelling in its friggin' May. It's almost June.
Yeah, the 3-hour schedule release show is kind of like turning The Hobbit into three movies. You know, it's a little bit of overkill in my book, but I do love that this is a year-round thing, especially since my interest in other sports has waned since I've gotten older and had less time. I think my final thought here is the one place I want him to go the least, I think, has to be the favorite, and that's Buffalo.
Yeah.
And really the problem for them in the playoffs has been that they just don't have reliable second options, and teams have been able to shut down Stephon Diggs because of that. And if teams can no longer do that, they become an entirely different beast.
Yeah, they do. Look, DeAndre, if you're watching this, and I'm sure that you are, if you're not coming to Kansas City, stay in the NFC. Except don't go to San Francisco. Don't go to San Francisco.
Or Philadelphia. I mean, they don't need any more talent, right? No. Go to. I'm trying to think.
Carolina. Go to Carolina. They could use some more pass catchers.
Go to Dallas. Well, I really don't want them in Dallas either.
Yeah, no.
Just go somewhere. Go to New England. That would...
Go to the Commanders for all of Scary Terry's fantasy owners.
Yeah, go help Eric Bieniemy out, right?
Right,
he could use another weapon.
Yeah. Listen, everybody, on your way out, do us a favor. Hit the thumbs up button if you watched on YouTube. If you enjoyed this breakdown, it really helps us grow the channel, provide you with more great Chiefs content. If you want to support us in another way, check out the promo that we have in the bottom right-hand corner for Caesars Sportsbook. Use the promo code ARROWFULL. Get all the details in the link in the description below. That will really help us. And then check out our show from yesterday. I went through and I predicted every single game in the Chiefs schedule. I gave you the playoff seedings as I think that they'll play out. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Of course, you got all offseason to check that out. But go check it out. If you're sitting around this holiday weekend, Memorial Day, cooking out, you know, celebrating our country and those who have given their lives for it, and you're out back and you're waiting for the smoker to do its thing, check out that show. Good long show. Real quick before we go, Adam, at the end of that show, producer Richard and I ranked our top five movie theater snacks. I know you have a much different diet than I do, but do you have a go-to? Like I know you're a big movie guy. So what do you like to chow down on when you're at the movies or watching one at home?
Well, I love popcorn. I've always been into licorice since I was a kid. Red or black, doesn't matter to me. Gummy bears have always been a big favorite of mine. Anything sour, too. Anything sour, I like. And then sometimes it just feels awesome to sneak something you shouldn't have in the movies, to sneak a burger in or some pizza or who knows, something more exotic or a bag of chips. But that's kind of changed now because most of the theaters I frequent nowadays offer pretty good food.
Yeah.
So that's kind of changed the calculus a little bit. But yeah, I mean, and also we have a lot of popcorn here in our house because our dog, we call it Poppy. She loves popcorn.
Loves popcorn.
More than probably anything she's ever eaten, strangely enough.
Love popcorn. Can't get enough. Eat it at home all the time. I see Jeremy Cochran in the chat says nachos or Twizzlers. I'm almost positive that's a troll. That's a troll of me because I did a rant on both of those at the top of my rankings and why they shouldn't be in movie theaters. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Adam, thanks for hopping on with me. Really appreciate it. Really made the show sing.
Yeah, you don't have to twist my arm to talk about receivers. You know that.
That's right. Make sure you check out Adam. He's frequently on the Arrowhead Addict TikTok. Follow the Arrowhead Addict TikTok. He's responsible for almost all of the content over there. It's fantastic. If you don't have an hour when you're sitting around waiting for your smoker to do its thing this weekend, go to the Arrowhead Addict TikTok and get all kinds of content really quickly when you just need to kill a few
60
minutes.
Seconds instead of 60 minutes, right?
That's right. That's right. Tungsten says, just to annoy Patrick, I'm going to say peanut butter M&Ms over Reese's Pieces. You son of a bitch, Tungsten. Nothing better than you're dead to me. Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Please, please be safe this holiday weekend. Enjoy yourselves. And we'll see you back here next week at Arrowhead Addict. And of course, keep it on arrowheadaddict.com all weekend, because if shit goes down, Matt Connor is going to have it up there immediately on the arrowheadaddict.com website.
And, right. And we'll get a video up on YouTube and TikTok too, if it happens.
In some form, some way, shape, or form. All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. For Adam Best, for producers Hunter and Richard, my name is Patrick Allen. We'll see you next week. But until then, as always, go Chiefs.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.